Lift up your voice. Praise Him. Good morning. David, being a good shepherd that he was, seemingly as you read the 23rd Psalms, is switching places. He's switching places in that he sees God as the good shepherd, Jesus as the good shepherd, as he's called in John 10, and he sees Him as one of the flock, as a sheep, in the aspects of that. And as I read it, I find, and I believe, I feel Him speaking in an aspect of pride. Pride, if you will, and devotion, and admiration. It's almost like He's bragging. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Look! Look who's leading me. Look who's guiding me. Look who's protecting me. Look who is the one that is the aspect of guiding the whole aspect of my life. Who is it? The Lord is. God is. God is my shepherd. And again, in our text this morning, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. My sheep know me. And I know my sheep. I know them by name. We're here today, and we ought to be. And we ought to be bragging. We ought to be prideful. We ought to be grateful that we can say from our hearts, as David did, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So as you and I overview and have overviewed that, evaluate where you have come from last week's message and the aspect of your personal relationship to your shepherd. Knowing how dependent a sheep was upon their shepherd and how they evaluated him and how they honored and respected him in many so different ways. Can you pridefully say this morning with sincerity to your wife, to your husband, to your family, to everyone you know, I just want you to know, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you really belong to Him? Have you acknowledged the fact that you are a part of His flock, that you're one of the sheep, and that you're and that He is your shepherd? Do you recognize His right to you? Because the Bible says, Jesus said, I lay down my life for my sheep. You and I have been bought with a price. We do not belong to ourselves. We belong to Him now, and we're to glorify Him and exalt His name because our shepherd laid His life down for us. He says, I laid my life down so that my sheep could have an abundant life. In our text this morning, do I respond to His voice? When He gives and when He speaks, do I respond as He has spoken in His Word? When my shepherd tells me and guides me and directs me through the Word of God, am I following the path that He has laid for me in the Scriptures? And do I hear His voice? So when He speaks, I obey, I follow, I let Him lead me. Do I find any and all aspect of my contentment within the concept that the Lord is my shepherd? I said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Want means is killing America. Materialism is eating the heart of our homes. Husbands and wives giving all their time and energy to make the big bucks, to have a nice home, drive a big car, while the children are going wherever. Nothing important should be more important to you as a shepherd of your household than your children. The sheep of your pasture. The ones you should be protecting, guiding, leading, and directing as a responsibility that God has given us as a father, the head of our home. Do I find rest and response in the fire and repose in my inner self that He's leading me? Come on, where does He lead us? By the still waters. He leads me to the green pastures. He leads me in a path of righteousness. If I'm really truly following the Lord, that God is truly my shepherd, then He leads me. The sea, the beaten, the ocean, beaten against the boat, Jesus asleep, the disciples fearing for their lives, and they simply woke Him up and said, Lord, don't you care, we're perishing? And He stood up and He said, peace, be still. And the waves obeyed his voice. And they were amazed that even though that the winds and the waves obeyed him. The aspects of it. If God could create the universe, and he could create you and I and man from the dust of the ground, God can do all the aspects of who he is, then you should know that if God is your shepherd, as David would know, being the shepherd that he was, there wouldn't be a thing that he needed that God, his good shepherd, would not provide. Period. My shepherd, my Lord, he'll provide me with peace. He'll provide me with that. He'll provide me with safety. And Jesus, our good shepherd, said, take no thought for tomorrow. Isn't that what he said? Are you hearing? Why? What did he say? Tomorrow has enough problems. Today has enough problems of its own. Amen? But if God takes care of the birds of the air and the foxes have holes, oh, how much more will he take care of his sheep if he's your shepherd? Oh, ye of little faith. So sheep are very nervous animals. You know that. I shared that with you. Why still water? Because they don't drink from moving water. They don't go near moving water. They are very nervous. They do not want to lie down. They won't lie down. They're always motion, movement, going here, there. That's why he has to make them lie down in green pastures. Because sheep are not normally wanting or willing because they're scared, they're afraid, they feel vulnerable. In fact, many sheep can't lay down, as we'll see later, because if they do, they'll never get back up without their shepherd helping them up. And remember that. Okay? Because it's very common within the sheep that they were afraid, but you know that much of the tension, much of the rivalry, much of their competition came from within the flock itself. You know that sheep were cruel to one another. You know that? Yeah, they did. This is very common in the animal society. I mean, in chickens, it's a pecking order. Okay? Well, in cattle, it's a horning order. And you know what makes the best butter on a farm? It's a goat. They're the best butter. Come on. Ezekiel 34, 20 and 22, Ezekiel says through the prophet, therefore thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with from side to side and with your shoulders, and you thrust at all the weak with your horns until you have scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will deliver my flock, and they will be no longer be a prey, and I will judge between one sheep and another. Yeah, they were really mean to one another. They were cruel to one another. There was constant friction. Why? Because there were those in the flock that wanted to be the top, I could say top dog, the top sheep. And they would bully themselves and do, oh, bully. We don't have that problem in our schools today, do we? Huh? Bullying. Well, it also can affect our homes, you know that, bullying. Bullying is very common in corporate America today. That's how guys get to the top, because they walk over people to get there. Yeah, they do. Churches have the same problem, because there are people in the congregations all over the world today. They want to be the chief, top of the dog, have the fast voice, rule and reign. I remember those disciples, remember Jesus' disciples, arguing who was going to sit on the right hand and the left hand of Jesus. In fact, the mother even came and asked him, Lord, who's and which one of my sons are going to be the top dog? Remember that? That was prevalent back then. Jesus said, he that will be the greatest among you will be a servant of all. I did not come to be served. I came to serve. Isn't that what he said? Yeah, he did. A lot of people don't, and a lot of people don't, and have never heard those voices, those words. I'm here to serve my wife. I don't anticipate her serving me. I don't expect anything. I don't expect you to serve me. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to serve God. My calling is to be a servant. the great shepherd that laid his life down for me, who came and set me an example, and his voice caused me to be and to follow his leading. And his leading is in a leading of serving, giving our lives, laying our lives down as a living sacrifice for God's purpose as his people. You know, there are 167 verses in the New Testament that relates to how we ought to treat one another in the flock. Did you know that? 167 verses tells us how we are to treat one another. Isn't that amazing? Listen to this one. I'll just read one. It's Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. It simply says, do nothing out of selfish motives or empty conceit, thinking, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Wouldn't that heal a lot of our marriages today? Wouldn't it? Wouldn't that heal a lot of our friction between our children and family and circumstances? Wouldn't that heal a lot of aspects of what goes wrong in people's lives? Because we all want to be, we have that battle within us to want to be on the chief seat. That's not God's. That is not my God. Not at all. So he restores my soul. Are you listening? He leads me. He restores my soul. Sheep would go astray. You know that? All we like sheep have gone astray. Amen? That's what it said. But shepherd would lead the flock. Remember the 99 to go find the one that went astray, right? Why? Why would he do that? Because he knew what could possibly happen to the sheep if it does wait, because it's going to get to a point where it becomes worried, frightened, and literally what it will do, it will just plop itself down on the ground because it runs out of breath, it's fretful, it's overwhelmed, it can't go on anymore, and it lays down. And the shepherd knows if the sheep lay down the way they do lay down, the abdomen of that sheep will fill up with gas in a matter of just a couple hours or so, that sheep will be dead. He knows that. He knows it. And if a wolf would come out and prey upon it, what does sheep do? It just lays over, sticks its legs up in the air, and lets whatever's going to happen, happen. It's called cast down sheep. Cast sheep in the biblical text. Sheep would become literally cast. And the shepherd knew that. And he knew that that sheep could never live apart from him nor the flock. So he would leave the 99 and go find the one because he knew what would happen to it if he didn't. It would die. It would literally die. And so the greatest fear that motivated him to do that is his love. His love for that one sheep. You know? Amazing. And the aspects, of course, in Psalms 42 and 11, speaking to you and me. Psalms 42, 11 says, why art thou cast down? Now remember, Psalms is written as a shepherd book from a shepherd. David has this in mind. Why are you and me cast down, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within yourself? Hope in your shepherd. Hope in God. That's what it says. People get cast down too, just like sheep do. Get all disturbed about life and everything else. And they could lay down on life and die, literally, within themselves. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. There was nothing more important to the shepherd than his reputation. His name. This shepherd, well, may have been David. And everybody would know David. They would know how good a shepherd he was. How he did what he was and what he did. His life was a sheep and they knew that. Remember the scripture says there are people who were hired to be hirelings. Well then when wolves came or danger came, what would they do? They'd run for fear of their lives. Okay? But a man who's a shepherd, doesn't matter his name would be, whether he withstood the wolves, withstood the whatever that was confronting the thieves, that he protected sheep. those shepherds were known throughout the regions of Judea. They had a name. God protects His name and how He takes care of you and me as His sheep. And when He guides us and leads us into the still waters, into the green pasture, He is so faithful to us aspect of the path of righteousness. The sheep, even though, do you know that they cannot see beyond 10 yards or 15 yards in front of them? How important is that for a sheep then to stay close to its shepherd and to remain in the flock and guide and lead and follow the flock? Because they can't see where they're going. They don't have any direction. They have no way to know where to go, east, west, whatever. They could go astray and have no idea where they're going. They just go. My daughter had a Pomeranian that was that way. You let him out of the house, he'd get out from the fence, and he'd just take off. Down the street he'd go. I mean, he had no idea where he was going. Really? Can you see people like that? Can't see any farther than the nose. Had no idea where they're going. Oh, remember the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death, destruction. Yeah, there's a lot of paths that people can follow. But the path that this shepherd leads before us, God does, is a path of righteousness. And how important is it for you and me? Psalms 5:8 says, O Lord, lead me in your righteousness. Make your way straight before me. May we remind ourselves over and over that the Lord would spend and has spent hours. A shepherd would spend hours and hours and hours going up into the mountain, walking and cleaning out the path, finding the way and the path in which he was going to take his shepherd, sheep, the flock, in the safest possible way. He would spend hours before he even begin the journey to take them to the high pastures. He would do that. He spent hours of that. Oh, remember, Jesus came and He prepared a way for me. He is the way. And He's gone before me and He left me an example to follow in His footsteps, hasn't He? Think about it, people. David sees God. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. The pasture He prepared for you and me has already been prepared. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. You were with me. To get to the green pastures, it was found and it was necessary for the shepherd many times to lead him through the valleys. To get to the high place of the mountain. But let me remind you, the Bible says God is a God of the valleys as well as the mountains. That means God doesn't leave you when you're in your valley, nor does He leave you when you're on your mountaintop. God says, I'll never desert you. I'll never forsake you. This shepherd that is your shepherd's promises that no matter what, and when you pass through the shadow of dying and the aspects of death, He's going to be right there with you. That's His promise. He's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. You can be guaranteed. Notice it says, we walk through the valley. We don't run. Sheep have a tendency, as it was, when they get frightful and scared and whatever, man, they take off. You've seen movies where they do that with cattle. They shoot, and what's happened? I mean, the cattle just start running. They have no direction. They just run, right? Yeah, they do. Same thing can happen within the context of our lives. We can just get so running so fast that we fall on our face, and it's amazing how many people do that. When God says we walk by faith, we don't run. We don't run. We walk. Why? Because He's with me. And that aspect is so powerful. In John 10 here, we remember what Jesus said in our scripture this morning. In verse 11 and following. Are you listening? I am the good shepherd. Jesus saying that, okay? I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolves coming, leaves the sheep, flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand, is not concerned about the sheep. Not at all. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And all God's people said amen. If you're a part of his fold, then you know him. And he knows you. And you know that he's leading you. He's guiding you. You need to keep your eyes fixed and focused on Jesus. Hebrews 13. He's the author, the finisher of your faith. We walk by faith. He is your shepherd. Follow him. There are many voices out there that are calling for us to follow them. But you know his voice. You recognize his voice. As I said last Lord's Day, there could be 5, 6, 7 flocks of sheep that gathered together through the shepherd. But when it came time to separate the flocks, all the shepherd had to do was call out his name. This is David. Come on, follow me. And he could start walking, and all the sheep that were his would separate themselves of the flock and start following him. They knew his voice. They knew exactly his voice, and they knew who he was. It's amazing. And you know, the shepherds knew every one of their sheep by name. Can you imagine that? I helped with farmers with cattle, and I remember some of the names that the farmer gave his cattle. I won't repeat them. But remind ourselves, if you will, this morning with me this morning, in Hebrews 13 and 5, God says to you and me again, I won't forsake you. I will not desert you. I won't leave you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The sheep saw that shepherd using that rod and that staff, and they knew exactly his capacity and his ability to do so. That's all he had. Did David protect his flock from bears? From lions? So when David was called to go and kill Goliath, he knew exactly, because he knew that God delivered the bears, God delivered the lion, and God would deliver that giant into his hands. Amen? There's nothing that confronts you. There isn't a giant in the world. There isn't a mountain. Because Jesus said, if you have the faith of a little teeny mustard seed, you can have and you can say to the mountain, move. And what will it do? Oh, ye of little faith. And the capacity and the power of your shepherd. And what he promises and who he is. He's the creator of the universe. He says, and there is light, there was light. This world is sustained by his word power. This word is his word, is the word of his power. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the word of God. And we as his people, his sheep of his pasture, are to be following everything he taught us. Because he wants to get you to the top of the mountain, to the green pastures. That's where he's leading you. He's taking you right where he is right now. My Bible says my shepherd is sitting on the right hand of God. And that's where he wants to take you. That's where he's guiding you, directing you, leading you. No aspect of that. And so as you think about the rod and the staff, how they comfort him, you know that you have a comforter. You know that God said to you and me, in the future, God says that I will send the Holy Spirit. And he will be called, and he was called the comforter. You know, he is a paraclete. The word paraclete means one who walks along beside. Supporting, strengthening, holding you up. The Holy Spirit, John 1 John chapter 2 says we have anointing. We have an anointing from the Father. There's the Holy Spirit. And so the sheep, and as David said, he anointeth my head with oil. God anointed you with the Holy Spirit to empower you. You did not receive a spirit of timidity, but of a sound mind, a spirit of power. There is more power in you than you probably have yet come to experience because of the lack of faith. But God is in you to empower you, to keep you on your feet, to keep you following him, because he's gone to prepare a place for you. Hasn't he? Yeah, he has. He says he prepares a table before me in the presence of... Oh, well, let me remind you. You see, Sheep get flies and fleas and all that. So in order to help the sheep deal with it, the shepherd would anoint it with oil. They had a particular salve that they would rub the sheep's head with during the budding season. So that would more slide off. It wouldn't hurt the other sheep so bad. And I had a young man tell me here a couple of weeks ago, what do you call the oil that they use to rub the noses of pigs? Called ointment. I do that. Thank you. I'm not saying who it was, but he's sitting down there. Point of that aspect, okay, again, is that God, when you are being attacked, when you are being overcome, whenever you are having something attack you in every way, God has empowered you and anointed you with the Holy Spirit. He has. The early church knew that. The apostles knew that. That's why they were so powerful and transforming the Roman world, because they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible says in Acts 9:31 that the early church throughout Judea, Galilee, Samaria were being built up and continued in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. May God comfort His sheep today. May you be filled with His Spirit. He's gone to prepare a table before you. He's gone, and he did it in the presence of your enemies. In other words, when the shepherd would lead his sheep out through the path of righteousness to the top of the mountain, going through the valleys, wherever, wolves were following. Those who wanted to steal his flock were following, looking for an opportunity. But the shepherd led and guided his sheep to the top of the green mountain, to the green pasture, and he did it in the face of all those enemies. Get a picture there? Well, let me remind you that Jesus has gone before us, and he's passed through, and he went through the presence of Satan, rulers, spiritual powers, world forces of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. He made a mockery of them when he went to the cross. And he's passed through it all. And he has been risen from the dead. He's ascended to the right hand of God. And there he reigns as both Lord of lords and King of kings, this shepherd of mine. Amen? He's gone before us. He's the forerunner. And he's already there. And in essence, so are you. Because you've been raised up with him and seated with him in heavenly places, according to the scripture. May I ask you a question? As he's anointed your head, does your cup run over? David got the realization of aspect. As a good shepherd, you make sure that the water, the necessity of life as a sheep. Did you know that deer have to drink water at least 6 times a day? Well, if you didn't know that, you wouldn't know why I hunt where I do along a stream, because there's a beaten path where I see the deer going to the creeks. And I know that within 3 days, a buck's going to come through there. I know that. Sheep are the same way. They have to have water. They have to have it. And a cup is a basin, as it was. And in the scriptures, it refers to the cup of salvation, the cup of consolation, the cup of blessing, the cup. Does your cup run over? Well, if it does, then you have enough to share with other people. You understand that? Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. God blessed him so he could take what God gave him and share it with his people. My cup runs over, and surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Isn't that what it said? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Because you see, my shepherd is that good. He's a merciful God. And that mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's what will follow me. Because a sheep always found mercy. When a shepherd left the 99 to go to find a one, he didn't take his rod for the purpose of beating the sheep. Had no intent to beat the sheep. When he found his sheep, he would pick the sheep up in his arms and he'd draw it to him. And he'd rub its nose. And he'd lift the sheep's head up and start whispering in its ear to calm it down, to comfort it. You know how many people I know think that when they don't do something just right, God's going to come out and beat them with a rod? Well, that's from hell, people. That's not the God of this book. He's a merciful God. He's a forgiving, compassionate God. And when you fail and you fall down, and if you made him his shepherd, you can be guaranteed that he's going to come up and he's going to pick you into his arm. He's going to rub your nose. He's going to whisper in your ear. He's going to say, "It's okay. I love you anyway. Come on back. Come to my fold. Stay with me." He wants to convince the sheep not to go astray again. And if you think God's out there waiting to hit you over the head with his rod, who in the world wants to follow that kind of God? Huh? Answer the question. Surely goodness and mercy. You'll follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So if goodness, mercy is following me, what kind of trail am I leaving? Are you listening to me? Because if I am following the goodness and the goodness and the mercy of God, I'm to forgive as I've been forgiven, I'm to love as I've been loved, and as I've experienced the goodness and mercy of God, the trail that I'm leaving is a trail of peace, not turmoil. It's a trail of forgiveness, not bitterness. It's a trail of contentment, not conflict. It's a trail of joy and not frustration. It's a trail of love, not hate. I'm following his trail. I'm following his track. I have that goodness and mercy of God in me. Then I need to turn it around. And people that are following my trail to see the goodness and the mercy and the compassion and the love of God being demonstrated in my life. That's what the church is supposed to be. You know that? We're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. I read one day, and I think it's true. You remember how the old Westerns, they wanted to get away from an enemy. They take a brush and they go like this and try to do away with this track so they couldn't follow it. Some people are spending their whole life, if you will, living it to cover their tracks. God help us. God help us to be a people who know the Good Shepherd, his goodness and his mercy, and that follows me all the days of my life, and the people who know me find me to be warm and compassionate, affectionate, and that goodness and mercy is demonstrated in my life just like my shepherd. Just like my shepherd. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How about you? Huh? I'm going to heaven. How do I know that? Well, said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You'll believe in God, believe also in me. In Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places, and I've gone to do what? I've gone before you to prepare a place for you, so that where I am." So Jesus came. He's taken us to the still waters. He's led us to the green pastures. He's taken us to the valley. He's taken us up the path of righteousness for his name's sake, so that we someday could reach the top of the rung of the green pastures and spend eternity with him. Summer's gone. It's past. We're now in heaven. Amen. I tell you, people, if you get the picture that David had of the 23rd Psalms and that the Lord is his shepherd, it'll change your life. It did mine. You can read it all you want to. Remember the young man and the older gentleman? Remember they had a competition of quoting the 23rd Psalm? The young man got up, quoted the 23rd Psalm, and when he was done, people rose to their feet, applauded and yelled. Wonderful. Oh, what a great orator. What a great presentation. Then it was the old gentleman's turn, and he got up, quoted the 23rd Psalm. And when he got done, you could have heard a pin drop. Tears run down people's cheeks. And somebody said to one of, "What in the world just happened? What's going on?" Well, So as far as I can see, the young man knew the 23rd Psalms, but the old man knew the shepherd. Big difference, isn't it? I can quote the 23rd Psalm, so can you probably, but do you know the shepherd? If you don't know him, then why don't you? What's leading you? What's guiding you? What are you following in your life, personal? Because you've got to make the choice to make him your shepherd. You have to make that choice. And my Lord told me that I need to believe on him as the Son of God. I need to turn as a sheep that has gone astray and come back to his fold, right? And be acknowledged into his fold. I need to be immersed into Christ, into the body of Christ. Why? So he can forgive me, wash me, cleanse me. And then he'll give me the anointing, the Holy Spirit. And I can be and follow all the days of my life until he comes and takes me home. Amen? Shall we stand and pray together? Lord God in heaven, I thank you for your Son, even Jesus, who has now become the Good Shepherd. God, I know that he has indeed laid his life down for each and every one of us because he loved us. He loved you. He wanted to do your will. And God, he wanted that cup removed if there was any way possible that he would not have to taste sin. They'd not have to go through being separated from you. That he wouldn't have to taste the hell that we deserve. But because he loved you and loved us, he laid his life down for us. He took it all so that we wouldn't have to. God, I thank you for Jesus and his life and his willingness to give his life for me. Help me to be a part of that great plan and help us all to follow his voice and make him the shepherd of our lives. So that when this life is over and we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, we know that God, to be absent from this body, we will be present with our Lord. Thank you for that promise. So be with us, bless us, and continue to guide us as we live in this life beside the still waters, into the green pastures. Lord, if necessary, restore my soul. Help me again to get back on my feet and to walk the walk of faith through the valley, that I can indeed allow you to get me to where you are, into the very presence of God. So thank you for the blessing. Thank you for your word and the concept of encouragement that comes through that word today. And I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.